Fight!
Once again, this is New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 27, where we are going to talk about the video game Banjo-Kazooie. But first, we've got the QOTW.
The what?
QOTW.
The Quado?
Quad, better watch it. The question of the week. We always have a question of the week. This question of the week just so happens to be, do either of you guys play any instruments? If so, which ones?
I do play guitar, and that's it. I play acoustic and electric, mostly electric, but I prefer acoustic.
How long have you been playing?
I think 6 years or maybe seven. I started in high school, and I suck at it.
Sweet. I'm a dabbler. I play a little bit of anything that I'm allowed to mess with, but nothing super well. So did the normal like music through high school thing, played saxophone, and since have messed with learning and know to various degrees, guitar and piano and drums and... I actually own a really old, really, really terrible violin that I will occasionally get out and play around with a little bit, but it's awful.
Did you say anything you're allowed to mess with? Do you play?
Yeah.
What are a couple instruments that you're not allowed to mess with?
I tried to borrow a man's didgeridoo, and he told me didgeridon't.
And moving on.
And thank you for listening to this week's. How long? Okay, so I guess what? Is saxophone your strongest instrument, you'd say?
Oh, no, I haven't played saxophone in years.
So what's your strongest?
Probably guitar. Probably drums, actually.
You won't fight me?
Oh, no, I'm not. Like I said, I'm not good at anything. Like, I'm the guy you have play with you if everybody else has pneumonia, and and even then it's like grudgingly. So, but probably drums.
Okay. I play bass probably most capably, and then acoustic secondly. I say acoustic specifically because I've only played electric a handful of times and don't know anything about the effects or leads or anything like that. And then I can dabble on drums. I know my way around the drum set, but that's pretty much it.
Also beatbox, right?
No, not at all.
Like semi-professionally?
No, that was Nolan, actually.
Okay. Nolan, you want to give viewers a little taste?
You want some?
I wouldn't do that to people.
Are there any instruments that either of you wish you did know how to play?
I wish I knew how to play the piano because I think it's one of the best instruments if played well. I think it's really pretty and versatile, I guess. I've always liked the piano, but I'm terrible at it. And I can't read sheet music either, so that doesn't help.
My mom actually made me, and my brother, I think, take like a year of piano before we could learn any other instrument, with the idea being that in piano, you'd learn some of those rudimentary things about music, and from there, you'd be able to take that, and that translates well to many other instruments, and she was 100% correct.
Yeah, that's wise. I'd probably want to actually know how to play violin, but I'd do it country style. Like, I would fiddle it up, because I'm that guy.
Is fiddle and violin, aren't they different? Like, very different?
No. Yes. They're the same instrument. They're just played in a completely different style.
So me, I did say piano, and that would be fun, but I've always had an interest in learning to play, you know, two instruments that I never really got around to learning. They were the banjo and the kazoo.
Yeah, the kazooie, you mean?
Yeah, I picked up a kazooie once and was good at it, but then every day from that moment forward, I never really picked it up again. So I'm really looking forward to picking it up again. That being said, our game this week is called Banjo-Kazooie, so we might as well talk about it.
Wow, that one was almost painful. Overview. So Banjo-Kazooie, for anybody who's not familiar, is a Nintendo 64 title that came out in 1998. It is a, I don't know, sort of 3D quasi-open world, like, puzzle platformer, basically. If that's a tough description. So if you think like Super Mario 64 with a little bit of like Donkey Kong mixed in there, like Donkey Kong Country, and then like a sprinkling just of the vibe from like Ocarina of Time, and then like take the whole thing and kiddify it just a little bit, what you'll end up with is Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay, so you said you threw Ocarina of Time in there. Why did you throw that one in there? Because I was with you all the way up until that point.
Oh, I don't know. Lots of things as I was playing through this week just would have moments that would remind me of it. I don't know if it was like the opening sequence with the main character asleep in bed and then having to like climb out of his house and explore that initial area with, you know, hills and grass that like felt very similar, you know, the way you kind of learn your way around the world, or if it was the fact that like the main character makes grunting noises and half the time you travel by rolling forward, or if it was just the fact that it was kind of like, you know, you solving puzzles kind of and interacting in the world. And I don't know, there were just some elements of it. Like, it's not that as a game. It's much closer as a game to something like Super Mario 64.
Yeah, you're wrong about the Ocarina of Time thing, but I do like the Super Mario 64 comparison because it's very similar.
I think as in terms of gameplay, it's for sure that's the vein that it's in. I think there's some stylistic things that reminded me of it. It's definitely not Ocarina of Time, and I know I have to be careful with you because that's your baby.
Did you say what year it came out?
98.
All right, so this is fairly early Nintendo 64 era?
A year or two in. It wasn't like, you know, release title.
Which Super Mario 64 was, right? That was one of the release?
That was one of the games they pushed with the console, I believe. Published by Rare, who are almost always
really
in good form.
Company.
Yeah, so that's one of those that, generally speaking, when you see it, you can have a little bit of confidence in the quality of the game that's coming out. Anyhow, in terms of, like, kind of game, that's what the game looks like. You are playing, obviously, as the character Banjo, who is a honey bear, and who has a friend, Kazooie, who's a bird. And the bird's carried around in your backpack and helps you do different aspects of the game and gives you abilities to solve these puzzles and progress and move forward in the world, finding all the goodies you need to find.
The bear, the brown honey bear, he's a male, and he's kind of, I guess, the main character. And the bird that's in the backpack is a female who is a totally different personality than Banjo.
Yeah, Banjo's way laid back.
So laid back to the point that, I mean, the whole story is revolved around him sleeping through his sister's abduction by an evil witch.
It's true. So
the only reason he even gets up to go try to rescue her is because the bird falls over from the backpack, you know, that's hanging and wakes him up.
Yeah, I was wondering, does Kazooie not get out of the backpack even at home? Like, she just sits in there when it's time to go to sleep and all the time.
She probably started as a small bird and, like, grew into it. And now it's, like, grafted onto her body.
You know, I think everything actually makes sense now. Because in this game, Kazooie, the bird, is angry at everyone and is completely rude at everyone. Now it makes sense. Why would
that
she
would
not
be, why?
Be if she's been captive her entire life in this backpack? I feel like this bear went out, captured this bird, and has not let her free ever since. Who wouldn't be angry at the whole world because of that?
It just got so dark, that twist.
Yeah, you thought this was a kid's game, and you thought it was all nice and colorful and stuff, but when you really get down to it, this is about abduction, rape, oh, murder.
Yeah, so pick it up, kids.
And pillaging. All of those notes you steal.
The plot is what really drew me in. I've talked to y'all before, and everyone that knows me knows that I am a sucker for a really good story in video games. And so I was really invested in this well thought out plot. So we mentioned it just a little bit, but this witch steals Banjo's sister. And her sister,
Tootie.
Yeah. So the sister has a really good name, Tootie. And the whole idea is this witch wants to steal her beauty, which she's not beautiful if you look at the character design. And so this whole game
The cauldron says so, though, so you can't argue with the cauldron,
right? But I feel like I've heard that story before. By the way,
maybe I think it was done here first.
Yeah, definitely. But Banjo and Kazooie finally go and they wake up and go to try to rescue Tootie. And so first, Banjo the bear meets with Bottles the mole. Like, this is the story, guys. To find out that he must collect all these musical notes and jigsaw pieces to get through the witch's lair so that he can rescue his sister. I know that makes sense, and I know that you are able to follow along really well. But that is the narrative, and that's what you spend the majority of the game doing.
It's true.
Yeah, the plot's bad or whatever, but the gameplay is great, so let's talk about that.
Gameplay.
There are so many collectibles in this game.
The whole game is about picking up...
gathering stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like 100 different or unique collectibles, but then hundreds of them in subcategories, which I really loved. I don't know, Dustin's a completionist, so I wonder how he felt about that, but for me, I really like that style of gameplay.
Let's see, you had to pick up musical notes, you had to pick up these little shaman skull things, you had to pick up jigsaw puzzle pieces, jiggies?
Called jiggies.
Uh-huh, getting jiggy with it. You had to pick up Jinjos, those little colored creature things. You also had to pick up honeycomb pieces to finish your honeycomb and increase your life bar. The list goes on.
Well, eggs to shoot, feathers to fly.
Uh-huh.
Later, there's gold feathers. There's golden banjos. So, like, there are so many. And in the first stage, it's overwhelming for me. Like, for some people, and really, I think this is kind of like personality-driven or what you like in a game. But if you're one of those that like collectibles for the sake of collectible sake, then you
That's
might
deep.
Enjoy that. But in the first game, in the first stage, there are like 5 collectibles that are introduced to you. So I thought that was enough, you know, maybe even too much. Second stage, it adds like 3 more. And then the next stage, it even adds a couple after that. So for someone who, like myself, is a completionist and is obsessed with getting everything, then these stages take such a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's not collection in a game that in where you're just... like for completion's sake, for 100%, for your pride, it's different in that the progression of the game, so stage to stage, depends on collection and depends on what you can find in the level and then later use to unlock worlds. So Kenny earlier was talking about Super Mario 64 and how it was similar. So in Super Mario 64, if you're not familiar, the worlds or levels are paintings that Mario jumps in. And actually in that game, star requirements will unlock a world, so a certain number of stars. In this one, you need those jigsaw pieces to complete a puzzle. It has a couple missing pieces. And so you find those jigsaw pieces starting in the first stage, and then you will go to the witch's lair, which is kind of the main hub of the game, and unlock different worlds. And then there's more in that stage. And so progression is based around collecting all this stuff.
Yeah, but like you also need music notes because I think those open doors too. And then you've got to have skulls so that you can get the jigsaw pieces within the stage. And then you've got to get the eggs so that you can, so that you can take out enemies. But you also use those at times to get the jigsaw pieces. So like most of these collectibles are not skippable. Like you need them to be able to complete the game, and you don't need all of them. I do appreciate that because we didn't say, but there's 9 non-linear levels, meaning you can do different ones as soon as they're available. And I believe, in fact, if you've got enough jigsaw pieces and musical notes from one of the earlier stages or from 2 of the earlier stages, you can skip a stage or 2 within there.
Yeah.
But But so many of the collectibles are necessary to be able to play. I think of Super Mario 64, and we keep comparing this because they're very comparable, these games. But in Super Mario, like you said, Nolan, I think all you have to collect are those stars. And sure, there are probably other collectibles, but those are not absolutely necessary to be able to advance in the game, as far as I can recall.
I think the neatest thing for me about this game in terms of gameplay is the diversity of abilities that your character is given.
Love it.
Yeah, like to the point where in my mind, and I'm this person across the board, but in my mind, like, the game should be called, like, Kazooie, not Banjo-Kazooie, because it's all about that little guy on your back. He's basically, like,
she's
your power.
Girl.
I'm sorry, guy, like, generic. This bird, she's the one who does all of your coolest stuff for you. You want to run fast? She's the one who makes you run fast. You want to fly? She's the one who's helping you fly. You want to jump really high? She's the one who's helping you jump really high. You want to do special attacks against certain enemies and to unlock things in the world that you need to, you know, do? She's the one who's generally giving you almost all of your power-ups. And so
girls do run the world.
At least in this world, like, it's totally Kazooie for me, so.
Yeah, who runs the world?
Girls.
Y'all are funny. I've always been that, like the supporting characters guy. Like, I'm a Tails guy, I'm a Luigi guy, but in this game especially, like, Kazooie was my homie.
Yeah, definitely about the abilities, like, it also goes to show how well they, Rare, did with using the N64 controller to its fullest extent. If you look at the N64 controller, it looks kind of weird, or very weird, compared to controllers nowadays. It's one of the most out there in terms of design and feel.
It was one of the biggest jumps forward for sure.
Yeah, Nintendo's always been the one to, like, do something weird with their controllers, and it works. And so the N64 looks intimidating, but they're able to use these abilities or use the button combinations to give you a vast amount of abilities to use with Kazooie and like shooting eggs and running fast and jumping. They did a great job with that too.
That's really one of the things that I really enjoyed about this game, because with the Nintendo 64 controller, like, to do some of these abilities, you, for example, I think to shoot an egg, you hold Z, is that correct? And then left C button, I think that's what it is, or maybe that's run, and the up C button is shoot forward out of your beak. You can also hold Z and then press down C, which shoots it out of the bird's rear end, and also,
tootie.
Tootie. And then also makes a noise. But yeah, so, like, they really take advantage of that Nintendo 64 controller and to be able to do the different moves, and that's really impressive to me.
Speaking of the abilities, they're also something you have to find. There's this mole that kind of serves as your game guide, or not narrator, but just kind of helper, and he digs to different locations in a world. So when you enter a world, he will tell you how many new abilities you can find in this stage, which is helpful, because if you're stuck, you know, well, I missed an ability, and that must be what I need to progress. So you have to find him too. It's not like it just gives it to you linearly. So lot of searching and a lot of collection. Like I said, I enjoyed that aspect, but that's completely Rare. They've always done that, and
Rare.
This game just shows how they design games and how that can be enjoyable, even though it's overwhelming. And I know Dustin struggled with it, but it's just a preference thing.
You kind of stumbled on pointing out something really cool too. Like, the level design is so creative that, like, you really would need certain abilities to progress. You know, like, it wasn't one of those things that if you just run around long enough, you'll find everything. But, like, a really good balance and variety of, like, exploration and, like, puzzles and kind of unique different ways of interacting with stuff. And I felt like level design was one of the other things that really shined for me in this game in terms of like how it played.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I mean, very, once again, similar to Super Mario 64 in that you've got this hub. So for in Mario, you've got that castle, right, that takes you to the different pictures and portraits. In this game, you've got the witch's lair, and you go move throughout there to be able to go into the different worlds. So that's kind of your hub, your overworld. And within those different stages, you use the abilities that you learn in that stage to be able to get the jiggies or the musical notes or the other things that you've got to find. And each stage is completely different with color, with look, with feel, with what you're doing, and music as well. So like, there's so much diversity within these stages, and I think they do that exceptionally well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's talk about how this game is aged.
Aged.
Generally speaking, I think this game aged pretty well. The only thing that stands up for me as a kind of hang up is just the fact that one sort of technological piece that they didn't do well was their implementation of the camera. It was kind of clunky. You had to sort of manually adjust it quite a bit. Sometimes you couldn't see the things you felt like you needed to see to really figure out a puzzle well, or do those kind of things. So that was something that kind of took a little bit, not much, a little bit of the sheen off for me. But besides that, this game has aged really well. Even though it's 64, which isn't sort of great graphics, it is iconic graphics and it looks good. It picks up relatively easy and is easy to play and is straightforward in terms of what you're going to do. And has lots of character, like the worlds they designed and the creativity that go into it, and just the title character combo itself is so well done that I think this is a game that even today people can pick up and play and really enjoy despite its age.
Yeah, Kenny, I'm agreeing with you. It hasn't aged a day to me. I do disagree about the graphics. And I know it's N64, and so I'm taking that into consideration, but I thought the graphics were actually really, they're pretty good for being N64, and made me forget at times that this was on the N64. Like, it could have been on the PlayStation or yeah, something like that, just looking at the graphics. And they're really vibrant and, like, kind of cartoony, but it didn't distract from, like, enjoying the game or enjoying the scenery. So I like the graphics, but the gameplay is so fun to me, and it really, really brought me back, because I played this game a lot growing up. I would rent it a lot, and I don't know why I never bought it, but I played it a lot.
Like, you rent a game more than twice, and you probably should have just bought it.
I definitely rented this game more than twice, and you're right, but I just kept doing it. It wasn't my money. So yeah, a lot of collection, but it definitely makes you laugh. I like Kazooie's attitude. I think it's funny how she's already decided that she's going to be mean to any character you meet in the game for some reason. And, so that was funny for me, but, yeah, I think this can be easily played today. Whether you like are fans of collecting or rare games in general, I think this game is a must play.
I think we're all in agreement. I mean, stunningly beautiful graphics. There's so much color, so much character. I agree. It sometimes gets a little weird with the clunky early 3D modeling, but that's normal for Nintendo 64 games. And the camera, but this game is endearing, and there's so much to it, and it's left such a legacy. Like, Banjo-Tooie, obviously, that's the second game in the series, but then it went to, like, some other handheld games, and even, like, I was reading, some of the former Rare employees actually got together, and they're now working on a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie called Yooka-Laylee, and it really looks promising.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for it.
I just found out about that, and I'm extremely excited. I had no idea that this happened, but it's the employees that worked on this game that are that are working on this new game, and it's the same concept. Like, you've got your two protagonists that I guess you can switch between to play. They're both playable, maybe. But either way, it looks incredible. The artwork looks so good, and I'm very excited. I was very excited to hear about that. And they got funded, like, so quickly. Kickstarters don't generally get funded that quick, but if you find out that it was Rare employees, then yeah, it's you're gonna
which get says something to the popularity of this game. And not only that, but they've also re-released it a number of times, which is another huge thing. Like, when people like a game that's old enough to give you money for it again to be able to play it on a new platform or something, that's always a great sign. So it's in Xbox Arcade on Xbox 360. It's in Rare Replay on Xbox One. It's just, it's available in a lot of places just because this was a crazy popular title.
Yeah, and I mean, it still lives on today. I mean, there's a big following for this game, for Banjo-Kazooie, and there's a reason behind that.
The final shell shock.
So, guys, new game plus status. That means, would you say that, hey, this game is worth our viewers picking up a copy, finding a copy of it, and playing through the game for the first time, or again for the 1,000th time? Is it worth picking up and playing this game again? New game plus. Kenny, would you give this game your new game plus status? Yes or no? Why or why not?
Yeah, I would. It's a solid game across the board. Well done. Lots of character and lots of fairly original ways they went about things. I do think, just because the kind of game, the sort of like puzzling platform, is not one that I personally especially prefer. It's one that, though the game is good enough by all means to get my new game plus, in terms of literally recommending it to people, I would say yes, most people should play it. If you're not a fan of that genre, then maybe look at another Rare title. But it was a great game.
I definitely give this my New Game Plus seal of approval. You should get it. And like Kenny said, it has been re-released on the Xbox Arcade. So it's out there and you can get it, and I think you should. It's worth the money. It's worth the time. It is a must play.
All right.
He just stopped talking. I was expecting at least like an anti-mom or something.
No, I'm not that witty.
All right, and before I give my answer, I do want to preface it with this, and I know I'll get hate for this. People love this game, and it's crazy, but people have differing opinions. I don't know if y'all found that out in this world yet.
That's bull.
No.
See?
You're not allowed to have a different opinion.
Listen, I think Mario 64, Super Mario 64, did it better. And what I mean by that is, I think Super Mario 64 had better handling. I think it had a better camera system. I think it had clearer, more crisp graphics. And I know it had a better story. I think it did collectibles well. It didn't have as many collectibles as Banjo-Kazooie. So once again, if that's your thing, you're going to be in collectible heaven. But if you can get overwhelmed by collectibles for collectible sake, then this game might overwhelm you. All of that being said, I would give Banjo-Kazooie my new game plus. There's a reason it had such a following. There's a reason it had so much success. There's reasons for that. And I think that I think most people can pick up this game and appreciate it. And some people could pick it up and probably fall in love with a game for the very first time that they have never played. Or if you've played it before, then you already know before you listen to this that you appreciate this game and it would be worth picking up and playing again. We've got a few of our viewers who have contacted us throughout the week and sent in their commentary on the game Banjo-Kazooie, and one is from Rev Beraldo. He messaged us on Twitter at NGP Podcast, and he said, "Hey guys, thanks for mentioning my comments on Yo Noid. Last episode was great. I'm playing Banjo-Kazooie. It's great. It reminds me a lot of Super Mario Galaxy, which is one of my favorite games ever. It certainly gets my New Game Plus seal of approval." And then he puts a little copyright sign and then laughs and says, "I'm now on the second stage for me anyway, something like Treasure Trove."
Yeah, that's interesting. This whole time we've been using Super Mario 64 as our comparison, and he is talking about Super Mario Galaxy, which is fairly recent, and it's a brilliant game. It's still on the same, you know, kind of style as Super Mario 64, where you've got your different worlds and stuff. But I wonder if he missed Super Mario 64, or if he thinks it's more so like Super Mario Galaxy. I just thought that was interesting that he pointed that out. But thanks for sending in your feedback.
We got an email from one of our friends named Holden, and he said, "I absolutely love this game. It's been one of my favorites since I was a kid, and I'm so glad we got to play it this week. Coincidentally, I had already started a playthrough a couple weeks ago just for fun and had stopped, so I was excited to pick it back up. I love that the music in this game changes theme with each individual level. It adds character to the game that most don't have. The further into the game I got, the more I loved it. It was a great mix of challenging and fun. It's an instant classic for me."
Yeah, I think that sums it up well. And though we kind of mentioned the music, we didn't harp on it. The music really is very, very well done in this game. It flows like seamlessly and is creative and fits the really fits the tone that they're going for in each level. And yeah, well done.
Yeah, and also not just the music, but just the overall theme, the way that they did the music with each stage. So each stage has like a like a theme. So the treasure trove stage that Reparado was talking about is like pirate theme. So your guy that's talking to you, the mole, he talks like a pirate. And so just the overall tone of each world was done really well, and the music does reflect that.
Guys, thank you for sending in your commentary. All of our other viewers, if you're listening to this, we would love to hear from you throughout the week as well. You can find us on social media on Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on Facebook/NGP Podcast. You can also email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. Talk to us on our SoundCloud, or I mean, any other way. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're giving the game a playthrough. We'd like to include that commentary as a part of our discussion. We're not going to roll this week, guys, for a new game.
That always makes me sad. Why not?
Well, we thought that we would do a retro recap. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling it.
I'm down for a retro recap. It's two R's.
Yeah, so retro recap, where we're going to take a look back on some of the episodes and some of the games that we've played so far and talk about high points and low points and just reflect and take a little break. So we won't be playing a game this week, but we will be having a podcast, and it will be interesting for those of you who haven't heard all of our podcasts and would like to kind of get a snippet of some of the experiences we've had. And yeah,
I think it will be a good thing, especially like Nolan just said, for those that haven't listened to some of our earlier podcasts, because it can let you know what games we have played. And I don't know, it might interest you in going back and checking out an episode that you didn't even know existed. That being said, we do want to thank you for your retro game suggestions that you sent in throughout this past week. Guys, I manually added over 50 retro games to our Retro Master list this week.
Holy cow, that's awesome. Thanks for sending those in,
it's
guys.
It's so long now. Like, I was scrolling through the Google Docs, and it was seriously pages and pages, so that's awesome.
I hope it's everyone responding to me asking for good games to help us out of our slump, and not everyone deciding to troll us with games that are going to make us miserable.
I think most of them are probably good, but there were a few that either had ha 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 beside it or sorry guys.
Or if there's a dinosaur in the title, we're screwed.
Right.
That's awesome.
So once again, thank you all for listening to us this week. Subscribe if you haven't yet on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Be the first one to hear of our new episodes every Monday morning when they're released. Take some time to rate and review us. That would help tremendously. Connect with us throughout the week on those providers, on those different social media sites that we had mentioned earlier. I guess, guys, it's time for us to go and rescue Tootie. So enjoy your week. We'll physically see you next time. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still Kenny.
I'm Tootie.
And this has been New Game Plus.